Okay, let's begin our discussion of this year's Haggadah Shir, Tav Shin Ayin Gimel. Again, I've gotten emails. Past shiurim are on, the past couple of years are on the OU.org website. Before that, I was on the YU Torah website. Should be a number of years worth of shiurim. And this year, we get into Tav Shin Ayin Gimel. There will be one repeat in the packet. I have to admit, I think 8 years ago, we did a certain thought that if anybody's going to catch me on, I want to announce it right now. But no, it's one that you'll remember. But Be'ez Hashem, hopefully we'll try to throw in some oldies but goodies, but hopefully everything in the packet is something new. Feel free to share with a neighbor if there aren't enough packets. Okay, just a thought of introduction. Rechinim and Akashi Omer, you look on the first page, and again, as we usually have, there are various Haggadahs represented here. We know the famous Mishnah tells us, this is from the Haggadah Otzros HaTorah. Chinim Bakasha tells us, Rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezako says Yisrael Lefikach Herbalan Torah Mitzvahs. Right, the Mishnah that is said after learning, Chinim Bakasha says, Hashem wants to give us a schus, therefore He gives us many mitzvahs. Many mitzvahs. Ask the Rambam, ask the Maharal, ask many Mefarshim. Wouldn't it be a schus to have less mitzvahs? How about 10? Give us 10 mitzvahs, we'll be able to focus on them. And then that would be better for us. That would be a schus. And yeah, no. He wants to be mezakeh us, and therefore he gives us so many mitzvos. So a mashal is given here. Mashal is given. There was a mashal of a rich man. Again, we're not going to read so much inside to be able to cover some grounds. And the structure will be, as in past years, trying to have about one thought per paragraph as we head through the Haggadah. So a mashal is given. There was once a rich man that was taking a trip. Line 6, Nikla, Lekfar Nidach, B'derach Masao. He comes to a village somewhere out in the boondocks, and he comes and he sees, you know, a poor man on the street. He says, Could you please find me a place to stay? Find me a place for food. I'll make sure to repay every single thing that's done for me. Every little detail, everything that's done, hospitality, food, you know, whatever it is. Please, you know, just let whoever you could find, let him know I'll repay them in kind. So he says, fine. Okay, this poor man goes, knocks on the first door, his friend. He says, you know, there's this guest here. He seems to be a man of means. And, you know, he said he'll repay every single detail. He's like, oh yeah, you're joking. You have a friend who could pay me something? He has one house, two houses. Nobody wants to have this guest that comes to the town. Finally, towards the end, he finds one guy. He says, okay, he wants to come in. Okay, I don't have much. I have a little bit, but okay. Have him in. See, when he prepared a couple of a little dish. He took out some napkins and some plates at the table. He says, okay, let him in. So he comes in and he treats him so nicely and he gives him food and he gives him everything, makes him feel very good. And when he's about to leave, he says, thank you so much. He says, but I want to fulfill what I said. So please, you know, could you write everything down on a sheet? Give me a bill, so to speak, so I'll know what I have to give you. So he gives him, he writes down, he's like, I don't know exactly, he writes a bill. He says, food, this amount. You know, paper goods, this. So he gives it to him. He says, no, you don't understand. I said every specific thing. What do you mean, food? Potatoes, wine, eggs. So I want to know every single thing because I want to pay you for every little bit of food, every morsel. I said every detail. I want to be makir, and I want to show you. And don't just tell me paper goods, right? I mean forks and spoons and knives and dishes. I want to know every single thing. The kachava, he wrote down every detail, and that's how he repaid. Before Pesach, more than any other yontif, we're doing a lot of achanos, a lot of preparations, a lot of quote-unquote, we can't call them that, but I'll call it that, headaches, a lot on our minds, and sometimes we lose ourselves. And we're like, oh, this and that and this, there's so much going on. Let's start off with a thought that says every single detail HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon in Shamayim is not just about, oh, they got ready for Pesach. Oh, they did this. They went shopping. No. You know what I have in Shamayim? They bought maror and they bought grape juice and they bought horseradish. They bought every little thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about every little detail. Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezako says Yisrael. Lefichach hirba leim Torah mitzvahs. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us so many because he's like that rich man. Every little thing. I want a record of it. I want to be able to pay you in kind. A general thought that applies to all of life, but specifically as we get ready for Chag HaMatzos, it is something that we have to keep in mind. Okay, Kadesh. We've spoken in the past, I think I mention this every year, but just to mention it, it's 45 seconds, right? Why do we have Kadesh Orchaz Karpas Yachaz? Why do we need this, these simanim? Just do it! Right? Just do it! Right? We know that motto. What do you need to know what we're gonna do? So we give the mashal, the commentators, Rabbi Sender from Chicago gives the mashal. He says, you ever go on a business, on a vacation trip? Go on a vacation trip and you go and you wake up in the morning in the new city that you're in, you're like, oh yeah, I wanna go to this museum today. Not open on Tuesdays. Oh, you know what? Let's go here. Cool. Got to make reservations before. I got it. If I don't have an itinerary before I go somewhere, if I don't have everything planned out, so then I'm not going to fulfill it. I'm not going to use every moment. I'm not going to be able to appreciate every moment that I have. The simanim are our itinerary for the night. We have a lot to do tonight. We have Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Knowing where we are, knowing what we have in store for us, makes each one of the tachanot, each one of the stops, that much more meaningful. I know there's a Kadesh, and I know there's an Urchatz coming. I know there's an Urchatz, I know there's a Rachza later on. Seeing everything, putting everything into perspective, gives us a whole new feel for the entire evening, what we're planning to do. So we start off with Kadesh. Baking Kiddush. And we have the bracha at the end of Kiddush, which the women say by Halakas Neros, but the men say by Kiddush, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'igiyanu lazman hazeh. So really this thought could be said on any chag. Says Rav Dessler in his Haggadah. Adam Ragil, page 2. Adam Ragil Lachshov. Usually we think, ki kisha over hazman, ein ze nogea l'mahuti, ve'eno mishana bo klum. We usually think as we, ourselves, we are constant, and time passes by. And we are not affected, really, by time. Time moves, but we are constant. Says Rav Dessler, it's not true. Time is constant, and he'll explain this in a minute, and we pass through. And we are affected and become different people by every moment and what we do at every moment in our life. Says Rav Dessler, I'll give you a mashal. Says, imagine you have a map. You have a map of a country. Put a paper over the entire map and only have one little circle that's revealed. You see one city. Ah, only one city exists. No, it's not true. You just can't see the other cities. The other cities exist, but you're just not there right now. The other cities are just covered. They're hidden from view, but they're there. They're just covered up. We are finite human beings, so we are bound by time. But really, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at time, he sees the entire timeline. He's not bound by time. What does the Gemara say in Maseches Nida? Says Rav Dessler, when we are in utero, we see mitchilas ha'olam at sofa. We see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. What does that mean? That means in time we see all of history. We have clarity. All of time, every moment that we go through time, says Rav Dessler, affects us and makes us different people. Every time we accomplish, we do a mitzvah, we learn something, we get closer to Hashem, we become different people because we are the ones that are traveling. Time is constant. At the end of 120, we want to be able to take as many of those moments with us. Like Avram Avinu, Baba Yamim. He went with his days. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'igiyanu. Thank you for bringing me, Lazman Hazeh, to this time. It's not that the time moved. I moved. Thank you for allowing me to come to this state as where I am now, as perfected as I am. That's what he says in the bottom. Kenu Eitzel Adam, Shemegalimo B'chol Rega V'Rega. Right, after 120, we're going to see our whole life. What do you mean? It's past already. It's not past. In reality, right, past, present, and future is all revealed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's reality. We just don't see it because we're bound. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just parenthetically, can Bechir HaChafshis with Hashem knowing before it happens the problem that's dealt with by the Rishonim. But it's not a problem because God is not bound by time. He's outside of the timeline. You can't ask the question of before and after. Says Rav Dessler, the message for us is that we realize that everything we do in life affects us, shapes us. And the more we, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, the more we act positively, that could affect and shape who we are. V'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Kaddish. Kaddish Orchatz. Turning the page to the Haggadah of the Mayana Shel Torah, so on page 4. Mayana Shel Torah points out the question that, actually, before we get there, let's just do his thought first. Kaddish Orchatz Karpas. Of course, from the Yismach Yisrael, one of the Rebbes. Kol kama she'adam Yisrael zoche l'kedusha, kach mavchin hu yoser b'shifluso. What's the connection between Kaddish and Orchatz, says the Yismach Yisrael? Many times, the more we grow, the more we gain in Kedusha, the more we realize how far we have to go and how much more we have to do. Ad kama rachoku min HaKedusha. V'hu margish. The more I'm Kaddish, the more I sanctify myself, the more all of a sudden I realize Orchatz. I feel like I have to wash off the stains on my neshama, because now I feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal Amar once said, I've quoted this before, Lo yadati she yadati, ad she yadati she lo yadati. I didn't realize that I knew something until I realized that I don't know anything. Lo yadati she yadati, ad she yadati she lo yadati. That's already a maila. Once we start getting closer, we gain in Kedusha, then I realize, I have a lot of Orchatz to do. But lest we have Yeyush, unless we say, okay, I'm a nothing. I want to get close to Hashem, but I'm so low. There's so much Orchatz to do. We say karpas. You could take a vegetable that sits in the dirt. It's not even on a tree. It's covered in dirt. You don't even see it. And you bring it up and you put it as the first thing we eat at the Seder table. Don't have yeyush. Even if you're in the dirt and you have a lot of Orchatz to do, you could have a karpas. You could have a potato, a celery, whatever, parsley, whatever one uses. And it could be brought up to Kedusha. Halo kol atzmam shekuim ayu ba'adama. The vegetable is in the ground. V'rak e'elu alim niru la'ayin. You only see the leaves. U'becholzos harayim mis'alim ba'olin al shulchan ha'seder ha'yehudi. And yet they are brought up on the Seder table of every Jew. And they are the first item that we eat, besides obviously the wine. Kadesh urchatz karpas. One other thought related to Orchatz, noting, so on the next page now, in the commentator Seder, noting that this is the only one of the simanim that has a vav. Orchatz, right? Everything else is not vikarpas, viyachatz, vimagid, it's just Orchatz. Kaddish Orchatz, the only one with a vav. Says the commentator Seder, usually we have sur meira va'asei tov. Usually we have to rid ourselves of the tumah before we jump into the mikvah. We can't be what's tovel v'sheretz biyado, as the saying goes. We can't try to be metar ourselves and still hold on to the tumah. And yet, Pesach Nat HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to bend the rules. Kaddish. Jump right in. This is the night you were born. This is the night, just jump. Kaddish. Right? Come to me. You don't have to be bound by the, right, just like Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzarim. Switch around the Nekudos. Mitzarim are borders and boundaries and Gvulim. We could jump out of our borders on this night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just jump right in. Don't forget, though, right afterwards, it's got to be an Orchatz. It's got to be right afterwards. Orchatz. And he says, we hear reverse the normal order. This reversal of the normal order is allowed because of the special nature of the Zayin of Pesach. However, whether we're aware that right away, Orchatz, don't forget, you have the Vav right there. If we don't do the Orchatz, the Kaddish is not going to last. And he says, similarly, there's one other night of the year where we're allowed to break the rules. And that, of course, is Yom Kippur. We mentioned a couple of years ago. There are two times of the year that many have the custom to wear a kittel. There are two times of the year that the process of what is occurring starts with the word kol. Kol Nidre and Kol Chamira. There are parallels. but these two times of year. There are two times of the year that we have a Seder. Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim and the Seder. Parallels. Yom Kippur, we're allowed also. Kadesh, to jump in. But he says that's why sometimes it doesn't last after everything that we've committed to do on Yom Kippur, because we forget the Urchatz. We forget right away that jumping in, we still have to solve our issues, our spiritual issues that we have. And Hashem allows the Kadesh, but we have to quickly then go to the Urchatz. And then we have Magid. And we start the Seder. As we mentioned in various times, I'll mention it again, because it's a very Yesodistic idea. And I give it to you, but the Maisa Nisim, a couple of years ago we had it, the Maisa Nisim, the Nesivas and Ezagada points out the famous question, why there is no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? There are about 20 questions that are in every Haggadah. Somebody once told me that they think, I mean, they've done the research, there are more commentaries on two books in Jewish history than any other. One is the Haggadah and one is Pirkei Avos. And then did the research, they said there are more commentaries on those two books on Rashi. There's Rashi al Torah, I think, has hundreds of commentaries on it. So that's, I think Rashi's up there too. But in any case, the Nesivos discusses this question that's in many Haggadahs, why there is no mitzvah bracha on the mitzvah of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the some say, oh, you're Yotzei with Kiddush. Some say you're Yotzei with Magid, Asher Ga'alanu. But the Nesivos says, Davar Pashut. No, simple. I'll ask you another question, says the Nesivos. Why is there no bracha on Kriya Shema? Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu, l'kros Hashema. Every day, every night. What about benching? Why isn't there a bracha on benching? Mitzvah Daraisa, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu, l'varech alamazon. Where are the brachas? Says the Nesivos. Whenever the mitzvah that you're about to do is a bracha, or is done in the context of brachos, Chazal never enacted a separate Birchas HaMitzvah. So benching is a bracha. You're not going to make a bracha on a bracha. Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is done, I'll say their HaBrachos. Right? If somebody doesn't even remember if they said Kriya Shema, they have to repeat it with the brachos, the Rambam Paskins. Or Tefillah. There's no bracha on Tefillah. Tefillah, according to the Rambam, is a mitzvah, Daraisa. There's no bracha. Says the Nesivo, so to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah is to fulfill it al Seder HaKosos, through Kiddush and Magid and Birchas HaMazon and Hallel. And therefore, Chazal did not enact a separate Birchas HaMitzvah because it already is done in the context of mitzvos. Good. Magid. Halach Ma'anya. We've discussed Baruch Hashem many thoughts in the past almost on every phrase in this paragraph. Let's focus again on the last phrase. The last two phrases. We note that there is a double. There's a double hope. Hashata hacha, l'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Now we're here, next year in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata avdi, now we're servants, now we're avadim. L'shana haba b'nei chorin. In the future will be b'nei chorin. Now I'm in the Beis Yaakov on the next page. See, it says Beis Yaakov on top. So Rabbi Yaakov Emdin Siddur is called the Beis Yaakov. In his Siddur, he has a Haggadah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, why the double Lashon? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, Spain, in the 1600s. You know what we're yearning for? We're yearning, says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, even before Mashiach comes. We're yearning to be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata hacha. L'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. And then ultimately, Hashata Avdi, L'shana haba b'nei chorin. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, there are two ideas, Golus and Gola. And this is expanded upon, if you want to look, in Rabbi Lichman's Sefer, in Ki Mitorah Teitzetzion, Eretz Yisrael in the Parsha, on the next page, he discusses this, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. There's Gola and there's Golus. Gola is the diaspora. Golus is exile. Gola is living in Chutz La'aretz. Baruch Hashem, all of us here have the schus of not being in the Gola, though we are still in Golus. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin said that the enactors of this Halach Ma'anya paragraph said we have to yearn for both stages and realize there's a level of Geula of both stages. First of getting out of Golah, and ultimately getting out of Galus. What would he say if he ever made it here? He didn't make it here. There's so much in his writings. He writes that the halacha of davening towards Eretz Yisrael is only a bidyevet if you can't get there. But davening towards? He writes that. It's unbelievable. He says, if I could go there, I wish to go there. I don't think he would say to change the nusach. There's a lot that we still have to daven for, though we have the schus of being here. But that's his unbelievable understanding of the last line, Golah and Galus. Look on the next page, where Rabbi Lichtman discusses this. Rabbi Yaakov Emden teaches us that there is merit to living in God's chosen land, even if things are not yet perfect. There are basically three levels of exile. Absolute exile, which means when the Jewish people are physically banished from their land and spiritually exiled as well. They are in Galus and Golah. And then there's the level up, without Golah, but with Galus. And then ultimately Hashem should bring us back to take out the Galus as well. Hashata Hacha, Hashata Avdi, Lashana Haba B'nei Chor. Manashtana Halayla Hazeh, Mikol Halelos. Okay, it might have been photostated. The next page should be the Ba'ahalei Tzadikim, if you have on top. Do you have that, the next page on top? If not, it might be, yeah? It is? Good. Some of them got stapled backwards. Okay. Ba'ahalei Tzadikim, just a story of the Belzer Rebbe. One of the previous Belzer Rebbes. One time his grandson, was asking him the four questions, Manishtana, and he started asking him, probably in Yiddish, Ich will defragen, defir kashes. He said, no, you skipped a word. Okay, I'll say it again. Well, the fragment, the fear kashes, you skipped a word again. He said, I didn't skip a word. He said, I'll say it again. I'll say it in Hebrew. Manishtana halayla, you skipped a word. He said, what word did I skip? Tata. Abba. Manishtana, and really the whole say there, is about parents and children, about fathers and sons. Chasarta mila achas, lo patachta b'mila abba. Shahav chayav l'amidus b'no Torah. Tonight's about family. Tonight's about abba, tata, whatever language one uses. Even if one doesn't say it, but one could think it and one could direct their questions. We mentioned a couple of years ago, the thought of some, there's such a focus on family at the Seder, because the Gemara says, Eved ein lo chayas. An Eved has no connection to his family. We are B'nai Chorin. We emphasize the family element throughout the Seder. Manishtan alay lazeh, we can't forget the Abba, says the Belzer Rebbe. And you got to have some more drawn out thoughts and like the 30-second thoughts when that's all you have at the Seder to be able to get in. Depending on the this year in Eretz Yisrael, it's much earlier, but got to have it all. Okay. Avada Mayinu. Avadim ayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim. The Zohar tells us, this is in Kemosei Shalal Rav, the Haggadah. The Zohar tells us, at the end of Avadim ayinu, we talk about the great mitzvah, v'chol amar b'lesaper harei zeh mishubach. The greater one is mesaper, the greater one delves in, harei zeh mishubach, that is praiseworthy. The Zohar says, you have it on the bottom right, that when we're mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, the malachim start celebrating. And the malachim look at us and say, wow, what a nation. What an amazing group of people. Mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Zohar. Ask the Bnei Yisachar, what's so great about what we're doing? If somebody did something for me, I should say thank you. Kadosh Baruch Hu took me out of Mitzrayim. He did great nisim. He gave me man and anani akavid and be'er. So what? It's so amazing what we're doing. Say thank you. It's basic etiquette. What, the malachim start dancing? And the malachim? Says the Bnei Yisachar, no, we don't understand what Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is. Because if you think about it, are we free now? Do we have everything? Is everything wonderful? Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out, but you know we had a lot of many shibudim. Every century of Jewish history has tragedies. Are we free? But we're still celebrating. And we're still talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know what that shows? And it's so many years later. You know what that shows? That we have the correct focus. Because if we thought Yetzias Mitzrayim was just out of physical bondage, and that's what we're saying thank you for, we wouldn't be talking about it anymore. We don't have it. Right? There are 2 billion Arabs in the world want to kill us. And yet we're still being misabra b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know what that reflects? You know what that shows? Says the Bnei Yisachar, that we realize that the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was 50 days later. Kabbalah HaTorah. If we're still celebrating now, it must be that that's what we're focusing on. And that is Chai V'Kayim, and we're giving thanks for that element. The ultimate stage of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The end of the Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMatzos, which is really Shavuos. And that's why the Malachim are celebrating, because they realize that we have the proper focus. They realize that we understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. It wasn't about just breaking shackles and becoming free. It was about becoming Avdei Hashem with our own rules and regulations. Just related to that, again, just to throw in something from a number of years ago. I think I mentioned this in a Shabbos HaKadosh Drasha. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned, this year is his 20th yard site, this Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Rav's 20th yard site. He pointed out that we say, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. We don't say, Avdei Paro Hayinu. We say, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. What's the difference between Avdei Paro Hayinu and Avadim Hayinu L'Paro? Like we say, Avdei Hashem, we don't say Avadim L'Hashem, we say in Hallel, Avdei Hashem, we say it every morning in the Hallelukas. Says the Rav, go back to Parsha Shmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time with the burning bush, with the sneh. Why was that chosen as the medium to introduce himself to Moshe Rabbeinu? Burning bush doesn't burn. Why is that so special and unique and symbolic? Said the Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu had his doubts about Am Yisrael. Do they really deserve it? Should I really go? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it looks like on the outside like they're burning. It looks like they don't deserve it. It looks like they're also of the Avodah Zarah. But inside they're pure. Inside they're fresh. Inside it's a bush that's not being affected by the fire around them. That's the message of the Sneh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't judge them by the outside fire. Judge them what they are inside. Says the Rav, Avdei Paro Hayinu would have meant we had an identification with Paro. We connected to him. Avdei Paro Hayinu, but we didn't. We were in a social status. We were physically, economically subjugated. Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. But we were not Avdei Paro. We became Avdei Hashem. But we were never Avdei Paro. So when we answer, we say, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro. We were Avadim there. We were socioeconomic status. But we didn't identify with him. Shaloshinu, Ashmam, Lashonam, V'chulu. And we recognize that, and that's what gave us the schus to go out. So, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro, not Avdei Paro. And we just spoke about the Zohar and the Bnei Yisachar, relating to, we have the proper perspective, exactly what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. Okay, moving right along. Maisa of the 5 great rabbis. Maisa, next page. This is the Haggadah, Mishulchanam Shel Gedole Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, all the greats of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shmuel Salant, are in here. So again, a question that is asked by many Haggadahs. Every Jew has a chiyuv to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim tonight. Why are we emphasizing that these 5 rabbis spoke about it? Even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, even they did it. Okay, so we all do it. What was the godless of these 5 great rabbis? Again, a question that we've dealt with in the past. So the answer given here, this year, is that each of these rabbis had a reason not to have to do the mitzvah. And if you look, he quotes in the first paragraph, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer was a Kohen. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a Levi. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Tarfon were Kahanim. Rabbi Akiva came from converts. None of their ancestors were in the Shibud. None of these five rabbis' ancestors experienced Shibud Mitzrayim. Moshe and Aaron walked in and out as they pleased. Sheva Levi, interestingly, even before the Egel, already had a different status. So one might have thought that if they don't experience it, they wouldn't be as into it. They wouldn't be as focused on it. They stayed up all night. Even these five rabbis, who didn't even experience it, their ancestors, still they stayed up until the Talmidim came and told them, Higiyaz Makriyashma Shel Shachris. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar. Remember, again, I'll mention it again. Just got to throw in some other old ones to solidify it in our brain. Why Dafka, again, another question that is asked by many, why Dafka did they come to Bnei Brak? They were all rabbis of five different places. Rabbi Akiva was the Morad Azra of Bnei Brak. Why did they come to Bnei Brak Dafka, to Rabbi Akiva's town? So the answer is given in the Torah, in the Yerach no, the Torah Tamimah's Haggadah. The Torah Tamimah's Haggadah, Lel Shimurim it's called. When did this story take place? We don't know exactly. But Rabbi Akiva lived right after Churban HaBayis. Right? The famous story at the end of Makos, that they were crying. Imagine what the Seder was like. Many of them remembered, they used to have a Korban Pesach as the centerpiece. And now, we have matzah. And we eat more matzah. This is a Seder? It's like the Gemara in Yuma, that the Zakenim that remembered Bayis Rishon cried when they built Bayis Sheni. This is the base of Mikdash. There's no Aron. There's no Ur V'tumim. You call this a Mikdash? You call this a Pesach Seder? Imagine the depression. Imagine the Yeyush they were feeling. Why did they go to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas is known as one of optimism. Somebody who always has a positive outlook. The most famous at the end of Makkos. Oh, I'm laughing! Right, Akiva Nichamtanu. But otherwise, it's Gemara at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. Rabbi Eliezer was on his deathbed. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Right, there are many cases. Rabbi Akiva always had a positive attitude. They went to Rabbi Akiva to get chizuk. Right, even on his dying moment. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to fulfill this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. All the Gemaras throughout Shas talk about the positive attitude of Rabbi Akiva. They went to Rabbi Akiva to get chizuk. Mice. Mais Rabbi Eliezer goes right into Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The paragraph, I'm sorry, it's a little light, but I'll tell you what it says. The paragraph about Hare Anikiv and Shivim Shana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is the one paragraph, as we know in the Seder, which is about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and not just Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah that takes place every day and night of our lives. We have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill by saying the third paragraph of Shema. Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah, specifically the night of Pesach. Sibur, Lisaper, many differences, many achronim to discuss. This one is at length, and this one is done in question-answer form, and this one is a form of Talmud Torah. But we know the background to this paragraph is the story of Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us that they wanted to make Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the chief rabbi, and he wasn't sure if he should take the job. He asks his wife, should I take it? She said, maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. No, it's still worth it to be chief rabbi for a day, but you don't have a white beard. And miraculously, he grew a white beard overnight. And that's why he says, Hare ani kevin shivim shana. Even though he was only 18, he was like 70. This is the one repeat from 8 years ago. Says Rav Pinkus, what's the symbol of black and white? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the world that when we're younger, our hair is darker? And as we get older, it turns white. Right? Why is that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why? Because he did it. But maybe there's a message, says Rav Pinkus. Black is the combination of all colors. If children are ever doodling with a bunch of different crayons, after they finish, it's going to be black. It's a combination. Black is a combination of all the colors. White is pure. It's clarity. It's singular. It's not mixed up with a lot of different things. It's clear. That's white. No colors. It's just white. It says of Pincus, when we're younger, we're pulled, we're focused on so many different things. We're pulled in so many different directions. Sometimes even good directions. You know, there's so much going on in our life. Right, with the chinuch habanim and with just finding ourselves, especially in the earlier years, in the teenage years, there's just, we think we know what we're doing, but there's so many different directions that we're heading in. That's the symbol of black. But as one matures and goes through life, ultimately, there's only one kavana. And that's to be an Eved Hashem. And that's knowing, lefnei mi ata asid li tein din v'cheshbon. That's the only thing, hopefully, on our minds. And that's the message of white. Rav Avigdor Miller once said, towards the end of his life, one time he stopped going to as many smachot as they used to go to. So they once asked him, Rebbe, you know, you're not going? He says, I'm studying for finals. I'm studying for finals, Rav Avigdor Miller said. He says he had one thing on his mind. He had the white on his mind. And that's the message of the black to the white. Why do some people get white earlier? I'm not sure. It's not for now. But either way, that is Rav Pincus' thought. Okay. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. Again, something that we've spoken about many times. Every phrase. This year we have from Tam V'Das, Rav Sternbach's Haggadah. What is the connection between Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? That is the introduction to Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. The four sons. What is the connection? Why are we saying Baruch HaMakom? Baruch Shanasa and Torah Lama Yisrael Keneged Arba Banim. Says the Tam V'Das on the bottom. La'acha Shemasker Arba Sugei B'nei Adam. After it says all four, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Shanasa and Torah. Why? Because we realize how to connect to any person in life. How to answer any question that we have in life could be found in the Torah. We just have to know how to read it. Hafochba v'hafochba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. Everything is in the Torah. Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. Because in there, Sheba, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Inadiel, the Shaul, all can find their answers. It's a fascinating Ha'ara. Right? All the children ask questions. Every one of them gets a pasuk for an answer. It's pretty amazing. Why don't you just answer them something else? Everyone gets a pasuk. What's the message? Because the answers can always be found in the Torah. How to approach a certain situation can be found in the Torah. Every generation, every child, every Jew, all the answers can be found in the Torah. And he quotes the Vilna Gaon, he quotes the Gra, who again gives a mashal. He says, Hagra zatzal masbir, on the bottom, shekamo hakadur, shemitsuyar alav mapas kol haolam, hamechune globes. Right? He says, I guess they had globes in the times of the Gra, 300 years ago. He says, the Gra says, imagine if you have a globe, and you look at a globe, and you pinpoint one point, and you look at this point. The point says, right, Yerushalayim. So, on the globe, it looks like one tiny little point, but you know that every point symbolizes a whole city. Symbolizes so much. Every tiny little point symbolizes so much. Every tag in the Torah symbolizes even more than any point on the globe. There's so much in every letter and every word. We just have to uncover it. We have to search. We have to ask our Rabbeim how to read the Torah and how to read between the lines of the Torah to find the answers to all of our questions that we have. Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael, leading right into the Dalet Banim, the godless of the Torah. Let's talk about one of the sons. Turning the page to the royal table, the first of the Rabbi Lamb thoughts. And the question that many ask, what is the Rasha doing at the table? If he's a Rasha, why is he here? So again, we mentioned in the past the beautiful thought from Avraham Soloveitchik, where he writes in Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Minds, that maybe one could suggest, again, this is not with Rabbi Lamb in front of you, but maybe one could suggest that the four sons aren't really four sons, because after all, in Judaism, we don't like to label people. They are really four stages of development in each person's life, and we're talking to ourselves. When a child is young, or by a baby is eni yodei lishol. It's just the mother's milk and the baby. And as the child becomes a toddler, questions, questions, questions. Right? Sometimes a parent is like, everything, you ask questions. Mazos, 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 what's this, what's this? That's toddler. Then comes, says Rav Aaron, then comes Russia, rebellious, independent stage, and ultimately Chacham, independent and wise. The four stages that each of us go through, says Rav Aaron, they're not mutually exclusive. Throughout life, we all have some of each of the stages. And therefore, we use the Torah to talk to each part of us. Double schizophrenic. Times four. Right? To say, Tam, Russia, Chacham, Eni Yodei Lishol. We talk to each part of them to deal with all of our halachic personality in serving our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. But if you look in Rabbi Lamb now, he says, this could be understood in our generation. Because many times, he says where it's underlined, this is a case of being a Russia without rishus, without evil. Perhaps then, such a second son should be called not wicked or evil, but mistaken. His waywardness is to be traced not to evil intent, but to a lack of understanding. Most Jews out there, most, not all, most Jews out there that don't want to be Shomrei Torah mitzvos are not doing it maliciously, are not doing it out of spite. Most are just uninspired. And what do I need this for? And, you know, it's a tircha, and it's... But they're not doing it lahachis in most cases. It's a Russia without rishus. Says Rabbi Lamb, they're at the Seder. Hakei et shinav. Knock out his teeth. Talk to him. Convince him. Have intellectual conversations with him. Show him the beauty of the Torah. Show him how it could be felt and appreciated and inspiring. That's the Russia we're talking about here. And deal with him in an intellectual level that can inspire him and love him and bring him closer to the fold. It's a lot more on the Dalet Banim, but let us continue. Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Sibritis Mitzrayim starts on Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought Erev Yant Pesach. No. B'shoshi Yishmatzu Umar Munachim Lefanecha. Second story of the Belzer Rebbe tonight. Belzer Rebbe is told one year he was taking a walk with one of his Talmidim, and they were walking, and they overheard people at their Seder. And the Belzer Rebbe didn't finish his Seder, and then he was walking. Maybe he just finished davening, and then he was going and passing somebody at the Seder who was up to Yachal Mirosh Chodesh. And they overhear, Yachal Mirosh Chodesh, b'shosh yish matzo maror michutanim lefanecha. They hear the guy inside saying, the time, the matzo maror michutanim lefanecha. And the Talmud turns to the Belzer Rebbe, did you hear that fool? Michutanim lefanecha? Munachim lefanecha? What do you mean michutanim lefanecha? The matzah and the maror are machutins? So Belzer Rebbe says, I don't know if he really knew this, he was just being Donald Kav's chus. But he says, let me give you a mashal. Another mashal. La asher echad, every story is a rich man and a poor man. Right. La asher echad, in the middle, Haisa Basmu Shlemes. There was a rich man who had a daughter with Alamilis, amazing, wonderful, only daughter, and I gotta find her a great, great guy. Have to find her somebody. And he goes, all different suitors come and try to win her hand. No. Finally, a very wonderful person, wonderful chassan to be, very poor family. He has nothing, but he has all the midas tovos, such a great person. The father says, don't worry. I need you. You know, you're the one. You're the one. He's like, okay. I don't really have. He's like, oh, come, let's go. I'll take you home. He's like, no, you can't go home with me. No, don't worry about it. I'm taking care of everything. It's fine. Okay. So they go home. They go to his house. And his parents say, we have is some bread, a little onion, a little nothing. He's like, don't worry. I don't want to wait. I want you as my son-in-law. I want you. Let's do it. Let's go. Quickly. Okay. They got married. Wonderful. A couple months later, they come to the palace of the king, palace of this rich man. And there was a little sichsuch, a little argument between the son-in-law and the father-in-law. And the rich man pulls out of his pocket a little piece of garment, of worn out, tattered clothing. And he says to his son-in-law, don't you remember where I took you from? I gave you everything. And the son-in-law turns to his father-in-law and says, you rushed me out. You wanted me. Remember how much you wanted me as your son-in-law? Remember that? And they were able to make up. Says the Belzer Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us at the Seder, you owe me everything. I took you. You know how bitter it was for you? You were meshubid. You were low. And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rushed us out. You wanted us so badly, you didn't even give us time to let our matzah bake. And bacon challah. B'shashish matzah umarar michutanim lefanecha. When you have the matzah and the marar, when you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu focusing and Am Yisrael focusing on what each one did for the other one and realizing the qualities and remembering back, Zachati l'chesed ne'urayich, that says the Belzer Rebbe, he didn't make a mistake, michutanim lefanecha. That was from the Haggadah, by the way, Asapra Kvotcha, which is from the set of a Karas L'Shabbos Oneg. Okay, we continue. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayav Oseinu. Next paragraph. Question. This is not asked by all the Haggadahs, but it's asked by some. In the Yotzros HaTorah. Thank you so much, Hashem, for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Who put us into Mitzrayim in the first place? He put us into Mitzrayim. He has to take us out of Mitzrayim. Why are we so thankful for? Asked Shlomo Kluger in the Haggadah Imrei Shefer, which is quoted here. He took us out, but he put us in. Why are we so happy? Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, Al-Kain Baha Magid Lahazbir. No. By thanking him, Mitchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayah Avoseinu. Our forefathers were Avdei Avodah Zarah, and now, Kervanu Hamakom Avodaso. By acknowledging, by saying this paragraph, we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do it for us. And it's not just He happened to put us in and then happened to take us out. But we needed to go in order to come out. In order to become the people that we were to become. And again, He gives a mashal. He says, you have two people. It's a short mashal, not a story, a short mashal. You have two people that come to the doctor, the same exact illness. To one, the doctor gives certain medicine, wonderful, fine. And the other one, the doctor gives super duper strong, much stronger medicine. And the patient says, I don't understand. We have the same illness. Why are you giving me this medicine? And he gets a much easier, much lighter medicine. The doctor says, you don't understand. He happens to be sick. But with you, your father had this, your grandfather had this, it's in the family. I have to root it out. You have to be treated differently because I need to get this away. I know where you're from and I know where you need to get to. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew who our forefathers were and where we're going. The Rambam says Avram Avinu was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that in order to become Am Yisrael, in order to be able to be the Or LaGoyim that He wanted us to be, we needed to be purified. We needed to go through a Shibud Mitzrayim in order that we gain the proper perspective to be able to go through Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos and Kriyas Yamsev and Maimon Har Sinai. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of the whole process. It wasn't just that He took us out. Oh, you put us in there. He put us in there because He knew Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah. It's in our DNA to have this netiyah, to have this inkling, and therefore he had to put us through it, and we recognize and we acknowledge that it was all needed for our benefit. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. Page 18. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. Hashem kept his promise. He punished the Mitzrayim, the promise from Bris Bein Havasarim. A question that the Rishonim have dealt with, we mentioned this a couple of years ago in the Parsha Shir. The Ramban on the Psukim by the Bris Bein Havasarim deals with this on page 18 now. The Otsar HaTorah also is two in a row, but this is from later on. The question that is dealt with is, why were the Mitzrayim punished? They were just fulfilling God's will. Right? We know the Bris Bein Havasarim, Hashem promised the Jews were going to be in a land that wasn't theirs, va'avadim ve'inu osam arba me'oshana, ve'achreichen yetzu b'rechush gadol. So why is it, this is from the, again, the Otsros HaTorah, why is it that they were punished if it was already decreed at the Bris Bein Havasarim that this was supposed to be? Question one. Question two. A question on Chad Gadya. You have on this page, again, if you're at a Seder where you could actually give a Dvar Torah by Chad Gadya, feel free. Otherwise, most of our Sederim, you know, feel free to say this earlier, at the meal, during the day. Chad Gadya. So what happened? The cat ate the kid. And the dog ate the cat. This, and so on. So the cat's a bad guy. Right? The cat ate the kid. The dog comes and is a good guy, because he ate the cat. So the dog is good. So why was the dog punished? And if you keep going, if you say the cat's bad and the dog's good, and you keep going bad, good, bad, good, Kodesh Baruch Hu ends up on the wrong side. And ask the Ben Ish Chai, how could that be? Kodesh Baruch Hu is not on the wrong side of history. Right? So, says the Ben Ish Chai, no, we don't understand. The cat was bad, that's true. The cat ate the kid. But the dog's also bad. Because the dog got involved in a fight that was not his. Nichnas l'riv lolo. Chazal tell us that two people are having an issue, you want to go and make shalom between them? Wonderful. Oif shalom v'rodev shalom. You just want to go and like take sides or try to, you know, when are our children having an issue and then somebody comes in? No, it's not, these, they have to work it out. Right, third man in. Right, so the dog's also bad. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out. it's off a step. Says the Otsros HaTorah, says the Ben Ish, he relates it to the Bris Bein Havasarim. The Mitzrayim, you're ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. But they got involved in a fight that was not theirs. They got involved in the Jews. They started subjugating the Jews. Who said it was up to them? Again, we've shown him already, have the roots of this answer. It's not our job to get involved in fights. Right? Let's have a boreach min ha-machlokas. The Chavetz Chaim, they say, said Mamish used to run. He used to see two people, he used to run away. If there was any type of machlokas. Have a boreach min ha-machlokas. So, they deserve to be punished. Vehisha amda, lavoseinu velanu. We're on the next page where the Sefer Hikarim is printed. Vehisha amda, many interpretations, what's the vehi? The Meshachachma, we mentioned again in the past, says, Vehi, we lift up the coast. Why do we lift up the coast by Vehi Shamda? Because we're symbolically saying, this wine, Vehi She'amda Lavoseinu V'lanu. What's the wine? Wine is the symbol, says the Meshachachma, of all the mitzvos derabanan that are meant to keep us separated from the other nations. Right, even though there's Bishul Akum and Pasakum and Chalav Akum, the most famous and all-encompassing one is Yayin, Stam Yenam, and others. So it says the Meshech Chachma, Vehi She'amda, this is what has prevented and protected us throughout the ages in order to stay separate as much as we can. Vehi She'amda. But the Pashtus, there's a lot of Pshatim of what the Vehi means. You also have the But the Pashtus is that it's referring to what was just being spoken about in the Agada. And that's the Hashem's promise by Bris Ben Abasarim. Vehi sham dalavosein avalanu. This is what has kept us going throughout. Shalecha bilvad, not only one. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to be our savior. So one thought, we mentioned this months ago in the Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera. One thought on the Bris Ben Habasarim, which again comes up a number of times in the Haggadah. The Sefer HaIkarim. Again, simple question. What does Ben Habasarim mean? Between the halves. Bris Ben Habasarim, the covenant between the halves. What happened by Bris Ben Habasarim? Very strange for us, if we think about it. And Rashi quotes it. In those days, how did you make a covenant between two people? You took an animal, you chopped it in half, you put the two halves of the animal on the sides of the road, and you walked in between the two halves of the animal. That's how you make a covenant? What does the animal have to do with me? What are you cutting it in half for and walking through? What's the message? That's what Rashi quotes there in Sefer Bereishis. That's how they used to make treaties. And that's what happened here. Avram Avinu walked through, and then the Eish, Kavayachal, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went through and burned it all. So what's the message? Says the Sefer HaIkarim, Rav Yosef Albo, beautifully. It's like the second to last page of the whole Sefer. When you make a covenant with someone, what one is really saying is, we are now one unit. And I'm only half. I'm only half. And your pain is now my pain. And your simcha is my simcha. That's a true covenant. When you become one. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Am Yisrael. I am half now. Right, as the Zohar says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oraisa, Bnei Yisrael, Chadahu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever it means, the infinite was Mitzamtzem himself to be connected to the finites. And he said, I'm half with you. That was the bris, Bein HaBesarim, and that's the Vehi. Vehi Sha'amda. Hashem, you did it in the ultimate act of Chesed. And that is something that we remember, we should remember every day of our lives, but remember it specifically at the Seder, the Hisha Amda, Lavoseinu Valan. Say Ulamad. What was so bad about Lavan? What was so bad about Lavan? Ma'bikish Lavan or Arami, Lashos, Liakov Avinu. What did Lavan want to do? Again, something that we've spoken about. I just got to mention this one again. It's a great one. I shouldn't say great. Everything is great. One of the sharp achronim mentioned, why was Lavan so bad? He was even worse than Paro. He wanted to be Okeres HaKol. It's a fascinating one. I'm sure many remember this, but it's worth repeating. There's a halacha in the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a man makes another man a shliach to go find him a wife, a Reuven can make Shimon a shliach to marry me, right? Marry Leah for me. And when Shimon goes and marries Leah for Reuven, Reuven's married to Leah, wonderful. What if Reuven says, you know what, I can't decide. Just go find me a great woman. I can't decide. There's so many great women out there. So, you know, go marry for me, right, somebody. And then a month later, Reuven hears that his shliach died. The halacha is that Reuven is usher to marry all women in the world. Gemara Nazir. Why? Because maybe this woman is the sister of the one that Shimon married, and it's Achuz Isha. And therefore, he's usher to marry any woman in the world. And Tosfos says, even if this woman has no sisters. No plug. So if a man makes a shliach to get married, find me a woman to marry, so then he's not allowed to marry anybody. What did Lavan do? Rashi quotes it in Parshas Chayesara. Besuel was on the scene, and then all of a sudden Besuel disappears. What happened? The Medrash quotes, Rashi quotes it, that they were having a meal, and Lavan put a cup of poison in front of Eliezer. And the Malach came around and switched it and put the cup in front of Besuel, and Eliezer got the unpoisoned one. And in Mela we have the story, and that's why Besuel disappears. Why did Lavan want to poison Eliezer? What happens if Eliezer dies? Yitzchak stuck, end of the Jewish people. Avraham made Eliezer a shliach to find a wife for Yitzchak. If the shliach dies, Yitzchak cannot get married, and the Jewish people never get off the ground. This is all assuming, obviously, that they kept all the Torah and Lavan even knew this halacha, but this is the answer of Bikish Lavan Lachar Sakal. Anyway, that's one. There are other answers given. Rabbi Lau, in his Haggadah, quotes that you know what the problem with Lavan was and why he was even worse? Because Lavan was the hidden assimilation danger. Most of history, says Rabbi Lau, and he could talk from experience, when Jews are persecuted, it's not hard to remember you're a Jew, and to remember what you stand for, and to remember your value system. But when you have everything, everything's given, be like us, that's when it's harder to have self-awareness. And says Rabbi Lau, that was Lavan. Come on, banos benosai, right? Your daughters are my daughters, and your values are my values. Come, be like us. That's lakaras hakol. How many Jews we are losing in our generation in the assimilation holocaust. That we're losing even more than was lost in previous generations, says Rabbi Lau. Tzeilaman nabikish lovan ha'arami. What Lavan wanted to do, the spiritual dangers that he represented. Say Ulamat. Okay, now we get into the psukim. Many psukim, we darshan the psukim in Parshas Kisavo. Why do we pick Kisavo and not the psukim in Shmos? Various psukim that mentions that we've mentioned in the past. But one of the psukim that we focus on is that they worked us, Laman anoso besivlosam. They tortured us. Inui, avodas perech. What type of work? So, the Medrash discusses already, it was worthless work. It was work that didn't give any satisfaction. That was the worst type of work to give. You don't even feel good about yourself. And Rabbi Abraham Twersky in his Haggadah quotes, it's a well-known story, true or not, either way, it's a story. It was told that a man was once sentenced to 25 years of hard labor and was shackled to a huge wheel fixed in the wall, which he had to crank during all his waking hours. And he spent decades in jail turning this wheel and wondering, I wonder what this wheel is connected to. It's probably connected to some water mill. And the water mill probably gives water to a whole town. It's probably connected to some power grid. And with my turning the crank, and he had all these imaginations. For 25 years, he's turning this wheel over and over again. And when he gets out and he sees that the wheel is connected to nothing, he can't bear it. Because he realized that his life for the past 25 years was worthless. And what he thought was accomplished was nothing. Building a building on quicksand, knowing that it's going to, as you build, you're destroying. Below Niga Larik, below Nele Lebahala. That's what they put us through. Let us try to get into the minds of Maschil Bignus, the ultimate in not even feeling good about anything that we do. That was Laman Anoso Besivlosa. Just one thought, not really connected to the Psukim, but it's put here. And Rav Asher Weiss's Haggadah, the Minchas Asher, he quotes the Lachatzenu, the Lachatz that we had, the Lachatz, the pressure that we had. The Mitzrayim were pressuring us, throwing our baby boys into the sea. And he just has one note that we have to help us understand the story. Vatirena HaMialdos, I'm on page 22. Vatirena HaMialdos, Eso Elokim, the Mialdos feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they didn't do as Paro asked them. Rosh Weiss points out, I don't think any of us would throw baby boys into the river. And yet, they get so much credit. They get so much credit that they didn't throw the baby boys into the river. What are they getting so much credit for? They're wonderful. Miriam, Yocheved. But we laud them. Lama pasik madgish, amyaldos hayu yireos elokim. V'chimi she'enu yirei elokim rotzeach tinokos. They were yirei elokim. What, somebody doesn't do that? Somebody does that, doesn't do that as a murderer. Oh, only they're Yirei Elokim? Says Rav Asher Weiss, no. Think about the situation. Of course, people under normal circumstances. But how do we act under pressure? How do we act when our life is on the line? And we could just relate this in less extreme cases to our situations. They acted this way even though they had lachatz. That's lachatzenu, zehad tchak. And they were still moser nefesh. Though they knew that they were basically giving their own lives by doing this. Line top of the left side. Yachal adam lios balmidas tovos. Adam hagun. A person can be a great balmido. Shebevaday no chashel harog tinokos. So then, you know, it could be that we won't stand up to it. Again, this is an extreme case. The message for us is in less extreme cases. In terms of our anger, in terms of our language. When it's under pressure, we have to make sure that we act the same way that we do when we're b'sheket or b'shalva. Vayareyo othanu. One more thought relating to the psukim. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Vayareyu osanu, I think this might have been mentioned in a previous year, but I did not have it recorded. But Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. So the pasha says they were bad to us. They were evil to us. Rav Gedalia Shor, Rav Avram Shor quotes his father here. On the next page, he says a deeper idea. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Not just that they were bad to us. They made us bad. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. They made us lose, this connects actually to the thought we just mentioned, two thoughts ago, they made us lose our feeling of self-worth. They made us lose our feeling of being a Zera Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Sha'asu osanu l'anashim ra'im, v'amru aleinu sheishlanu machshavos ros, lasos v'am ra'im. They wanted to give us yeyush. They wanted to give us, forget it, there's no hope. You're an Eved today, you'll be an Eved forever. And what does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. No. You're great, you're B'nai Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. They made us into people that we weren't. They made us give us hope. Like the Kutzker says, Yeyush shalom idas. The sugi in Maseches Baba Metzia. But if you put a comma in the wrong place, Yeyush, comma. If somebody gives up hope, shalom idas, just because they're not thinking properly. They're not thinking as a Jew should think. Yeyush is shalom idas. We can't have yeyush, we can't give up, we can't think that there's no hope. Again, there's a lot to do with the psukim, the makos, feel free to chazer some of the old parsha shiurim, va'era and bo, a lot to do with the makos. And we come to Dayenu. We come to Dayenu. Probably the most famous question on Dayenu. This is page 24 now. The Ben Yoyada. Most famous question for Dayenu is, Ilu kervanu lefnei har Sinai, v'lo nasalanu es haTorah Dayenu. What good would it have been to come to har Sinai and not have received the Torah? So the most famous answer given is the Achdus Vart. V'yichad sham Yisrael negad har. Wonderful. But there's another idea that came up in the Daf Yomi a couple of months ago, actually. And that is the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara tells us on Daf Peites in Maseches Shabbos that at the time of Maimon Har Sinai, B'nai Yisrael was standing there, and after every Dibur, we died. We died. Our neshamas left us from the experience. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tau, a special dew, and did Tchias HaMesim after every Dibur in order to bring us back alive. That's what the Gemara says. Ask the Ben Yoyada, why didn't he just give us the Tau in the first place so we wouldn't die? Give us Tau so we should, well, so we don't die. Why do you need to have Tau? You know, you kill them, and then you give them the Tau to revive them, and then you kill them again, and then you tell, just give them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create, you know, life, no, death preventing Tau. Could have prevented it. He could have created it. Says the Ben Yoyada. Again, it's a little light, but it's there. In he says it in both places. In actually, this one might be on the second page. On the second page, says the Ben Yehoyada, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have the experience of Tchias HaMesim right at the beginning of our relationship with Him. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that He's telling us, this is your destiny. Your destiny is to live a life of Torah and mitzvot, 120 years, and after that, there's going to be other worlds, and there's going to be next worlds, and there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to prove it right away. He wants to have each Jew go through Tchias HaMesim at Maimon Har Sinai, so that forevermore, we know it happened once, and we know the last Ani Mamin is something that's going to occur again, Be'ez Hashem. So says the Ben Yoyada, that's what he says. Nothing to do with Dayenu. But we're putting it in here. Ilu hichnisanu, ilu kervanu lefnei Har Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu asatara Dayenu, we would have had this experience. This would have been enough. Going through Tchias HaMesim, going through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise, this our destiny, He makes our destiny our history so that we believe in our destiny. By having this as the roots of our relationship with Him. Okay, what more can we talk about? Okay, we have towards the end of Maggid, we have the Hallel split up. We have the first part of Hallel, and then we introduce the first part of Hallel with the words, I'm going to sing you a Shira Chadasha. Hallelujah. Second to last page 26. Right, v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha halleluka. Says Rabbi Lamb. Okay, what is this shira chadasha? We're going to sing a new song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be something you've never heard before. It's going to be something so new, you're going to be shocked. Halleluka v'lu alei Hashem alosh. And we say the same old Hallel that we say every Yantif and every Rosh Chodesh in Tehillim. This is a new Hallel? This is a pretty old song. You know, a couple centuries, thousands of years. This is not a new song. This is an old song. And that's why some Rishonim even changed the girsa of Enomar to Venemar. We're not singing you a new song. It's been here for years. Says Rabbi Lamb. No, it's a new song. Because Yahadus is a religion of taking the old and making it new. Yahadus is about taking what is ancient and what we've had and what is tried and rote and putting it, instilling in it a newness, a new vigor, a flavor. It's the same words. It has experienced no perplexity and has refused to be puzzled and confounded by the presentation of the old Hallel as a Shira Chadasha. For our people throughout the ages have instinctively understood that the rhythm of Torah combines the old and the new, that it allows us to recognize the familiar in the new, and the new in the familiar. That in the old words of Hallel, I can't say it better than Rabbi Lamb, so that's why I just have to read it. That in the old world of the Hallel and the familiar melody in which we chant them, we can indeed find elements which are tantalizingly new. Not only the newness of rhythm, but new insights are possible, insights that come with age and wisdom and experience, v'chulu. We have to make it a Shira Chadasha. We have to take the old and make it the new. And then we have our Shulchan Aruch, Tzafun Baruch, Hallel Nirtza. Maybe we'll end with a thought on Baruch. Okay, we could go all night here, but there are other years. There's another one, actually. There's another one on the Reisha website, Reisha.org, that I gave a couple of weeks ago, that they asked me for the greatest hits kind of one. So it's more of a compilation of a number of them. Feel free to look it up on the website. Anyway, let's end with one thought from the Chafetz Chaim on benching. On benching. We say in benching at the Seder something that we don't say the entire year. In the Haracha months. In Harachaman u'yanchilin u'yom shekulo tov, instead of just saying Harachaman, that I yearn for the day that is kulo tov, but we add in a whole three lines. Yom shekulo tov, yom shekulo arach, yom she tzadikim yoshvim v'atroseim, tzadikim are going to sit v'nanim yiziv ashchina, three lines of a Harachaman in benching at the Seder. Says Rav the Chafetz Chaim, a scary thought, but it's something that we have to know. And it's something that we have to take with us, really, every day of our lives. It's really a story. Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab, Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, says one time he was at the Chafetz, with the Chafetz Chaim, and he says, he sees his Rebbe, and the Chafetz Chaim says to him, Shimon, you said Berachas HaTorah this morning? Yes. What does it mean, V'chaye Olam Nata Pesochenu? V'chaye Olam, an eternal life, Nata Pesochenu. What does that mean? You've said it so many times. What does it mean? V'chaye Olam Nata Pesochenu. Chafetz Chaim says, let me tell you what it means. Where are you going to be? If I ask you, where are you going to be in 100 years from now? Where are you going to be? I'm going to be with Hashem. I'm going to be with Hashem. Where are you going to be in 1,000 years from now? Chafetz Chaim says, the same spot. Where are you going to be in 1,000,000 years from now? Same spot. Yom Shekulo Aruch. Yom Shetzadikim Yoshvim Bechulu. Says the Chafetz Chaim, every day of our life, every minute of our life, we determine the spot that we will have for eternity. And that gives a certain value to every moment of our life. Obviously, there are schuyos of children and grandchildren and people, what we did are... But ultimately, says the Chafetz Chaim, another Daf Gemara, another mitzvah, V'chaye Olam, Nata Bisochenu. At the end of the Seder, after we've spent many hours trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing our best, we yearn and we hope through all of our actions before Pesach and on Pesach, Harachem on Hashem, the compassionate one, should bring us to the day of Yom Shekulo Aruch, Yom She Tzadikim Yoshin, the day that Tzadikim sit, and the Tzadikim are Nanim Yiziv Ashchina, shall be Zocha to fulfill all the potentials that we have to be able to create the Makom for eternity that we all so yearn for so deeply. Everybody should have a Chag, a Kasher, a Sameach, and Bez Hashem, next year, again, just to finish off with a Tefillah, that Bez Hashem, next year, we could be in our new building, Bez Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us Yad HaDeshmaya. Again, anyone who wants to participate in building a shul in Eretz Yisrael and partnering with us, please go to nofeyashemesh.com or nofeyashemesh.org to be able to help us keep having these Parsha Shirim in the OU world. And Bez Hashem, we shall be zochet to wonderful, wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful Yantif.